Yeah, we didn't intend to be in combat, but kind of happened.
Baldur's Gate will get you that way.
Yeah, so we're in the Underdark, and we're doing the Draegar thing where we're trying to help the mushroom people.
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to get somebody.
That's like right at the end of Act 1.
Yeah, they're trying to get this one dude out from the rubble, basically, in their like main base.
Oh yeah,
and
that was a nightmare for me. I ended up having to kill everybody in the fucking fortress.
So how did it go for you?
Poorly. Most okay. of the things in my first playthrough have gone poorly. Like it's been like, okay, so this is what I've got to do. Here's the plan. Immediately goes wrong. Everybody attacks me. I have to fight everyone and their brother. Everybody's dead. Okay, whatever. You know? So, like, yeah, it's rough. It's rough. I ended up having to kill literally every Dark Dwarf down there. Just every one of them. Killed all of them. It was a very hard fight. That took me many runaways to actually pull off.
That's definitely about to be what's going to happen with us, for sure. Yeah. So whenever we talked to the one like main lady who's in charge of the dig, it was like, it was like, oh, you know, we could help out, whatever. And I just so happened to have, it said that I had some explosive powder. And she was like, okay, cool. Get it all set up over there and then we'll go. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I had an explosive bomb, and that's what I thought it was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just backed up and threw the bomb, and it didn't clear out the rubble, but initiated combat.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, Gale got launched into the lava.
That sounds right.
In that, and then we ended up having to fight everybody, but we were kind of there to kill the guy anyway, so we were like, do we just do this? And it was like, yeah, we just went for it.
There's like a couple of guys off to the side, not where the rubble is, but off to the side. They want you to do something. I can't remember, like, they'll help you, but they want you to like get rid of somebody for them or steal something for them. I can't specifically remember what it was, and like, mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, cool, I'll go steal this for them. And then I immediately botched the steal thing, and they pulled their blades on me, and it was just go time. So, like, I had to just fight my way through it. But what's worse is Asterion is on my team, and he's actually one of my bigger damage dealers for this playthrough, mm-hmm. Because he's a Dread Ambusher, and he's Rogue, Assassin, Dread Ambusher, Ranger is how I multi-classed him. So he just murders people, but he ends up getting shoved over the edge down to the like bottom level, like because they're on an edge. So he ended up down at the bottom, just getting murdered by this one guy over and over again. I had to fight my way through it. Was gonna lose. There was like too many of them left. Managed to get one of my people away, fleed back to camp, resurrected everybody, came back. Fought him again, won. But it, yeah, that one was a hard one. That was a hard fight.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good. It's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to tune into another Horrible Gaming Podcast. But I am not alone. Usually I am never alone. With me is...
Don't mind me. I'm just... rubbing the shit out of my eye. I had a whole thing set up with the soundboard ready to go, and it's ruined now. So, yeah, don't mind me. Just the shit all in my eye. Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
The fucking soundboard.
There you go.
Yay! We've discovered a soundboard. We're going to talk about the VGAs this week, guys. I hope everybody enjoyed the prediction show last week. It is VGAs this week all the way. Just so that everyone knows, next week's show, not this week's show, but next week's show will signal our break from live recording for the holidays. You will not get a break in content. Next week's show, whatever we decide to do that show about, will happen. And then the show after that, or otherwise known as the show after Christmas, will be the Horrible Game Awards, which we are hard at work at. We're almost done with, and then I've got to edit. We are also recording another show with PhilBilly330, which is our year-in-review show, where we kind of look at 2023, our ups, our downs, what we thought was cool, what we thought was bad, and then maybe even give what we're looking forward to in 2024. Something along those lines. But those two shows will be pre-recorded. I'll warn you again next week. Any comments you put in those shows, I won't forget you. I'll read them when we come back on our first show in January. So, that out of the way, today we're talking Video Game Awards. Keeley's Fuckfest happened this last Thursday. And, yeah, it happened. So, and we're going to talk about it. But before we do that, we have to thank the people who made this possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a fancy graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And of course, this theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Siders. We thank him for that. We'll be right back for Fans Reaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans. We read out your comments wherever we get them, however many they are. This week, only got one real comment. There is another comment I'm probably going to go to, just because I feel like it needs to be talked about and it's a good segue to it. But this first comment is William Holman. Hi! Exclamation point. You know you're a real fan when you know what the jelly joke is. 12 years ago, the sticky note was actually sticky. It was way less than 12 years ago, but yes, thank you. Congratulations on your predictions, Neil. Love the prediction show. Thanks for making them. Cheers. Hashtag bad... badum TSS?
Badumts.
Oh, badumts. Okay, got it. Got it. Thank you, Will.
Also known as...
Oh, god damn it, this soundboard. Neil has discovered a soundboard. My life has changed for the negative. Okay, there's one other one I want to tell you guys about. You are going to probably lose Neil's picture for a second, because I got to bring it up. And that would be privately messaged to me by Aether Dios. Whole bunch of stuff about... the day before. Have you been following the day before, Neil?
I have been hearing bits and pieces about it.
All right, so
I haven't been super following it, but
so I definitely want to touch on it, and we've got a small fan interaction, so this is going to be the moment to touch on it. So here's what's happened with the day before. Day before, anybody who doesn't know, is the most wishlisted game on Steam for the last, like, what, 2-3 years, I think. It was billed as a zombie survival MMO. Looked really interesting, really cool. I think even you said it looked kind of cool. Guess what? It was all a lie. Because if you follow the story since the beginning, there has been some weird stuff going on with them. There was the whole their entire workforce is volunteers thing that came out a couple of years ago. There was another thing that I can't remember, like something else controversial. There's been a couple of delays. This game has released into early access, and it's not even really a game. They only have 5 servers. It's, in fact, not an MMO in any way. It's an extraction shooter like Escape from Tarkov. It has no MMO, connections whatsoever. The city that you're supposed to be, that you were originally supposed to be able to build in, is lackluster, has no building options. The NPCs are basically just like walking quest boards. It is absolutely nothing. But there's more, ladies and gentlemen. There's more. It's also rife with bugs. Well, of course it is. It only has 5 servers, so of course it's rife with bugs. It is a train wreck. Like, there are all sorts of stuff on the internet about the bugs and crashes. And then, to make matters even worse, it turns out the entire game is almost kind of like a hoax. They bought all the assets directly off Unreal and then just posted them without doing any changes, without, like, making them their own or anything. They just bought rights to the assets and stuck them in. These are like base level assets that the Unreal Engine store offers you. So I gotta say, I know it's not getting as much bad press as Cyberpunk did. I hate Cyberpunk. Everybody who has listened to this show for a long time knows my feelings on Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red. This is more egregious because this is actually literally hype. They sold hype. They just sold hype. There's no game behind this. There's no actual, like, anything behind this. And people paid $40 for early access to a thing that really never existed.
Yeah, the one bit that I saw about it was they put out an apology letter, basically, for the game before the game even, like, actually came out.
I did not see that.
Yeah, it was something – they had said something along the lines of, like, people worked hard on this game. And, I mean, objectively speaking, I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure there are some people that cared enough to put effort into it, but in the end, what it wound up being, the letter had said something along the lines of, people just aren't going to understand the situations and this, that, and the other, and, like, you know, that's fine, but I feel like if you think your game is not good enough to you know, stand on its own merits, that you have to apologize for it before it comes out. I mean, as much as it sucks, last minute delay, man. Like, just be like, look, this is not what we want to put out. This is embarrassing, embarrassing enough that they have to present this letter. Just don't.
Okay. So every one of these games that comes out train wrecked has devs, not the developer as a whole, but people working on things that are trying to make it look good. As much as I rant about Cyberpunk, there are definitely people at CD Projekt Red who put in good work to that game and who tried to make it the best. The problem is not those people. The problem is the people at the top who are conning you. You know, I think the biggest problem I have with this whole situation, and even that apology, is you didn't... You straight up told us that this was a different game. Like, you advertised this as a different game than it ended up turning out to be. All bugs and server issues aside, you advertised this as something it turned out to be not. That, for me, is the con artist stuff. Like, that's the hype. Like, you put buzzwords into your trailers because you wanted people to get excited and buy this game without seeing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the... There's always going to be devs, like, just people who work on it, who are trying to work on it, and I appreciate those people. It's not them. It's the fact that the company themselves used them to bamboozle people. And I don't know if you heard about the whole Discord thing, too, because they shut their own Discord down.
That I did not.
They shut their own Discord down, and they said specifically that they shut it down because of the high level of toxicity in the Discord. You know, like, toxicity comes, like, there's two types of toxicity. You know what I mean? There's butthurt people because they can't win at a video game. There's bully people who are just saying terrible shit to hurt people, trolls. But you created this toxicity. You told them it was something and it wasn't, and now you're getting backlash and you're blaming the people who are upset about it for being upset. Like, that kind of stuff is unacceptable. It just is. And this game is a train wreck. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I found the article that I had read before. So just to briefly go over some things. They wrote the letter for people who did not believe in them. and that they would accept any kind of criticism and don't hold a grudge. They did ask people to not accuse them of being scammers or accuse them of asset flipping, that they are really proud of the work that they did for 5 years.
That's 100% what they did, though. They scammed an asset flipped. Like, that is real. That's real ridiculous that you're going to go out and apologize immediately. Like, ask people to not accuse you of doing the thing that you specifically did. Like, you asset flipped. You asset flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And you fucking lied to people about what the game was. The game was announced as a survival MMO. There is no survival aspects, nor no MMO. It's an extraction shooter like Tarkov. Oh, frustrating. Okay. All right. So that's out of the way. Shall we do the VGA?
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back with the Video Game Awards wrap-up.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Keeley's Fuckfest has returned.
Winter edition.
Yeah, because he's got multiple editions now. So the VGAs happened. I'm going to say this right up front. Here's how we're going to do this on the show. We're going to talk about the actual awards themselves at first. Then we're going to talk about the trailers.
Everything else.
The trailers. I'm sure organically we're going to get into some other weirdness. But I'm going to... Full disclosure, I didn't watch this shit show. I'm done with that. Until it starts to get some more credibility, it's not something I'm going to waste my time on other than here on the podcast. But we're but Neil did watch it. So, Bali for you, Neil.
3 hours of it.
I appreciate it. Man on the streeting it. So, he's got the firsthand knowledge of all the stuff that went down. From what I saw, I did seem to see some more acceptance speeches and presentations of awards. However, again, I didn't watch, so I'm very interested to see if that is correct or completely wrong.
Oh, I can't wait till I cannot
wait
till we
get into that. All right, well, let's get into the awards first. Let's talk about it. I don't want to read every one of these dumb fucking awards off because I think they're just, why you do this to me? Why you do this to me?
Okay. Why you do?
It's killing me.
So, I mean, I think
I can't read it without your face going away. It's very
annoying. That's fine. I can. I mean, it's all right.
If you can read it, yeah. I just won't know. I don't think we need to do all of these.
We don't need to do individuals. We can do broad strokes.
Let's do game of the year.
Yeah, so game of the year, surprising literally absolutely no one at all whatsoever was Baldur's Gate 3. Baldur's Gate 3 and Larian had a phenomenal evening. In fact, I think they won every single category but one or two of them overall that they were nominated for. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got Game of the Year, the player's voice as well, which is very important. Best multiplayer, best community support, and best role playing.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So, yeah. I mean, let's face it, if there had been a surprise in this category, it would have been an egregious, like, an affront to what this year has been. I mean, I hate to say it, there have been tons of great games coming out, but only one perfect one, and that was Baldur's Gate 3. It's so perfect, it upset the dichotomy of how developers make games, you know what I mean? Like to the point where other developers are scared of it. AAA developers... Mm-hmm. I mean, it just was too big to not win wholeheartedly, 100%. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of games I played that would have been a game of the year if it had been any other year. But, like, not this year. Baldur's Gate 3 should win all these categories. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say it's hard to argue against it. I mean, I'm going to say this. I've been playing Baldur's Gate now. I'm almost done. I'm at the very end of Act 3. And there's definitely some things that I have problems with. But as far as the game experience as a whole, it just doesn't get quite better than that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Looking at some of the other categories, so Alan Wake 2, I was kind of surprised got the wins that it did.
Mm.
I don't know if it's necessarily like, to be fair, I did not play Alan Wake 2. I never played the first Alan Wake. But Alan Wake got best art direction, best narrative, and I think it was, according to this, it says studio game direction two separate times, but I think it's just the one overall. I think this list is showing up a little weird. But yeah, it that one won a bit more than I thought it was going to, because I mean, when Alan Wake 2 came out, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of noise about it, but I guess that's kind of par for the course for Alan Wake.
I mean, everybody loved it. I remember that, but it wasn't like it set the world on fire or anything. I will say this, you know, there have been multiple people in our community talk about it to me. It's not something that I would seek out and play, so I have kind of a blind spot to it, you know?
Mm.
The other thing is, too, the way we get information nowadays through the internet, let's face it, we look for things that we would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there is a big, like, hubbaloo about something and we don't notice it because we're scrolling past the Alan Wake 2 stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or the algorithm isn't showing it to us because it knows we're not going to click it. And that's just kind of the reality of how the human race consumes content nowadays. That being said, I didn't feel like it was over the top. I'm sure it deserves it though. You know, like, it was a good game. I don't think that it did a bad job of doing whatever it did. It's just, I don't have any frame of reference here to really say.
Right.
I mean, it beat Baldur's Gate 3 in narration, which I could say was, like, probably wrong. But at the same time, maybe they just wanted to give the award to somebody else for a change. You know what I mean? Like, they gave Baldur's Gate 3 every other goddamn award. At the show, basically, you know?
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I was anticipating a sweep for Baldur's Gate, but I mean, it was close enough.
It basically was, yeah. Given the amount of awards. I was surprised it won in the multiplayer category, personally. And
yes,
I love it as a multiplayer game. I have been thoroughly shocked, and I'm not going to spoil anything at the Horrible Game Awards, but guys, I was thoroughly shocked to see Baldur's Gate 3 even nominated in our multiplayer category. Not necessarily because it does anything bad, because personally, I would argue for it to be a great multiplayer experience because of some of the stuff it does that's just completely different than anything else you could play multiplayer. But I was surprised that they put this here and that it won. I think it should have won, though. I mean, there's no other, like, you can play it with another person and both of you can have completely separate experiences with the exact same game at the same time, mm-hmm. which is amazing. Like, I can play it with somebody else, that person can romance somebody, I can romance somebody, and it will be, you know what I mean? Like, you could both play the same game all the way through, so no, like, little kid mode, no, you're relegated to this, no, you have to go back to your game and do your own story, none of that shit. What's even crazier, and I just started experimenting with this, and it is so cool, you can actually go in, plug in a second controller, go to split screen mode, make two characters yourself, then unplug the controller and literally play the game from two point of views at the same time just by yourself.
Oh,
I started doing it with my Evil playthrough. I made a brother and a sister combo. I was like, I wonder if I can do this. And sure enough, I can. I can then switch to the other player and romance whoever I want as that player. And then I can switch back to my player and do whatever I want as that player. Like, the storyline is completely, like, completely solo. I think that shit is so fucking cool. that's the kind of stuff that I've always wanted in a game that they've never really given us, and they did give us this. And, like, yeah, I would never necessarily think of Baldur's Gate as a multiplayer game, but when you really look at its accomplishments in that area, it deserves it.
Definitely.
I'm definitely a cuck for Baldur's Gate 3. I'll say it.
So, some other interesting things, wins, so to speak, yeah, I guess. You know. Cyberpunk 2077 won Best Ongoing Game.
Yeah, saw that. Figured we'd talk about it.
I think right now Cyberpunk is being regarded as a No Man's Sky sort of situation. Given the fact that it won Best Ongoing Game. In fact, I think No Man's Sky did the same exact thing.
No Man's Sky has been nominated for Best Ongoing Game like for five out of the seven.
Yeah.
Last
oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Like yeah. But the first time that it was nominated for the Best Ongoing Game, if I remember correctly, was when it won for, you know, the improvements that were made from it being launched in this janky state.
Yes.
I still don't know how to feel about this, man. Like, I'm glad that it's good now, but that whole idea, we've talked ad nauseum about this, the idea of it's okay, it's good now. Like, that means it was bad before. That means it was unacceptable before.
Right.
But is okay now. Like, they're two different games. You can't judge them as such. But the company can be judged for what it was presented, what it presented to us to begin with. I don't know. It gets weird.
I have some problems with the comparison to No Man's Sky, too. Okay. First of all, just because a game gets better after it releases does not mean we should forget the transgression of what it was in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It just shouldn't. Number one, right off the bat. And I'm putting No Man's Sky in there, too. Like, you lied to us. You released something with features that you said were going to be in there that weren't in there. Like, I didn't forget that. Pepperidge Farms. I told you guys that. What I loved about No Man's Sky, though, was the way they handled that on the back end. They released a game. And another thing, this is the big difference for me. No Man's Sky was a good game at release. I was just having this debate in Discord with somebody. It was a good game at release. The problem with No Man's Sky was not what it was. It was what it was promised to be versus what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, No Man's Sky didn't have many bugs. It looked okay. It wasn't a train wreck. Like, No Man's Sky was, everybody was mad at it because it was bare bones. It was cut down to nothing. And a lot of the things that Sean Murray had said you'd do in procedural generation wasn't there, you know? And then they shut the fuck up, they buckled down, and they released an update basically once every 6 months, well, 4 to 6 months, for the next, what, 10 years now? To make that, like that game into everything they promised it. Cyberpunk 2077 released a buggy, shitty, fucking mess of a hodgepodge game. Not only that didn't deliver on its promises, but was also in many ways unplayable. They then got mad at us for being upset about it. They constantly went out and talked about it, wouldn't shut up about it. Then they didn't release anything. There were minor patches and updates for like a year, just slowly improving some small stability stuff until they gave us one DLC that I'm going to remind everybody out there, you got to pay for. You got to pay for this fucking DLC, this Best Ongoing Game bullshit. You have to pay full price. It's a full price DLC. And then they're done. They've said they're done. This is it. They still never gave you the multiplayer that they promised. That's just gone. Like, I hate the comparison because, like, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on the, it feels weird that this game is good now. But what bothers me is people want to compare. Everybody wants to compare it to No Man's Sky, but nobody has actually pulled off a No Man's Sky since No Man's Sky. Because No Man's Sky, every one of their updates was a free update. Mm-hmm. Even the one for Xbox, the reason people think it's paid is because they moved it to Xbox, so you had to buy the game for Xbox, but you were buying the game for Xbox. Anybody else got the fucking update. The fucking thing, every update has been free since its fucking release and inception. There's no microtransactions in it. They have sat there and done work after work after work on this thing to make it up to us for the failure of delivered promises. Whereas CD Projekt Red bitched about our reaction to it, gave us one DLC with Idris Elba in it, made us pay for it, and then still canceled features and told us we're never going to see it. No Man's Sky has not only given us all the features that they originally told us they were going to, but are now giving us new features to it with no sign of stopping. So, like, is it really good now? Is that what we're willing to accept as people, as human beings, as consumers? That's what we're happy with? That's why we think this is the best ongoing game? Because they basically re-released the game, made us pay for it a second fucking time, and somehow made that okay, you know? It's very frustrating to me, the way that this is being presented as the second success story, because I don't feel like they did any of this right, you know?
Yeah, I would definitely echo a lot of what you had just mentioned. The only thing that I would maybe press back on a little bit is eventually, while it was a choice for Hello Games to, you know, release all the expansions and everything for free, mm-hmm. that I'm sure, you know, a lot of people enjoyed and definitely got, you know, the goodwill ball rolling. There definitely does, I think, have to be a point where you do some work for free, for sure. Mm-hmm. And depending on the expansion and what's put into it, that you may say, like, you know, we understand we screwed everything up, but we still kind of have to charge for this. That said, you know, if it's one of those things to where, you know, the stuff in the DLC for the Phantom Liberty expansion is like shit that was promised the first time around, like, that's an entirely different situation. Like, if it's like, oh, well, if you want the real police chases and the expanded, you know, driving combat, right, then you got to pay for the DLC. That's an entirely different situation.
Well, in fairness, there is an update that comes with this DLC that is free that supposedly, yeah, corrects a lot of that stuff. I feel like there is a big difference when you look at those two companies and how they handled.
There is, for sure.
How they handled their failures, you know? And I think that, like, CDPR responded like whiny little bitch babies, and got off scot-free because of goodwill and are still kind of doing that. I don't think they deserve this award. In fairness, objectively, they have taken a game that was an absolute piece of shit, that they have made it playable, and they have brought people back into it. So, I mean, if I'm speaking objectively, not from my own point of view, I don't like the comparison between the two, even objectively. But if we're comparing it to other games that are ongoing this year, yeah, they've done something that they shouldn't have been able to do. So there is something in that. Do I think they did it the right way? No, I don't. But again, we're not necessarily honoring how they accomplished it. We're honoring the accomplishment, you know?
Right. When we look at all of the other categories too, there's only one that I really feel like I kind of wanted to bring up.
Okay.
And it's just a minor annoyance because I remember what was happening last year with this. So for Genshin, for Genshin Impact last year, they were running that thing to where, oh, if you get enough community votes, we're going to give you guys some free shit. And sure enough, it actually fucking worked. So, you know, Genshin Impact won, I think it was like best mobile game or something like that.
They bought their win, yeah.
And sure enough, Honkai Star Rail won best mobile game as well.
Yep.
And I mean, I try to avoid anything with this. Like, I actively get like frustrated when I see anything with Genshin or this Honkai Star Rail. I don't even know anything about the game. It's just the company and the shit they pulled last year frustrated me. And the fact that they won best mobile game this year too, just it I actively went like let out a disgusted grunt and eye rolled whenever they announced it.
Yeah. I don't know. I will agree with that. I will echo everything you just said. I have no notes.
But outside of that, did you want to touch on anything else with the wins before we get into the quote unquote real meat and potatoes of this show, which is apparently what it was?
Which is sad that that's the real meat and potatoes. The real meat and potatoes should be what we just went over. But no, I think we covered everything and we do have a lot of stuff to get to. So let's move on to the stuff. Do we want to talk about trailers first or what craziness happened?
I can be
fast with trailers because I only have a couple of things to say on all the trailers.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and be fast with the trailers.
So to do my homework, I watched basically this big like everything announced at the Game Awards video that was like 20 minutes. And then anything that was like jumped out at me, I watched the full trailer. I would go and watch the full trailer. Only two games jumped out at me. I thought the trailers were lackluster at best, considering. I also think, here's all my points. I'm going to put it all, just one big rant. Here we go. Going to start. Prepare yourself, Neil. Here we go. Number one, what the fuck's with the anime, guys? I mean, fine, anime's cool, but do we have to have every game have fucking anime right now? It is just being crammed down our throats like nobody's business. Number two, Kojima, go fuck yourself, man. You don't even have a title for the game. What are you doing here? Like, go the fuck away, please. And anybody who thinks that Jordan Peele is going to be writing that game without him fucking it up somehow, you're out of your goddamn mind. Number three, Monster Hunter Wilds, cool. New Monster Hunter game coming in 2025, really awesome. This was an announced trailer. I don't get out of fucking bed for announced trailers. I've already been in a couple of like back and forths, friendly back and forths, but back and forths with people on the internet about how excited they are about it. There's nothing in this fucking trailer. Yes, they engineered that trailer to be like, look, we have weather. Look, we have animal patterns. Look, we have mounts. Like all these things you asked for in the previous games and did not necessarily get. Still, this was an announced trailer. This was made for you to go, oh, and touch your penis to it. I don't get out of bed for this shit. I'm sorry. Especially with Capcom and all the shady shit they've been pulling lately. Until I see full fucking gameplay reveal, don't care. Number two, the thing I'm really excited about. This is the thing that actually really got me going, and that's Light No Fire. That was the one trailer that I was like, oh, that has immediately made my most anticipated list. It is probably going to be a day one purchase for me, for better or for worse. I'm very excited about that fucking game. Just to give everybody clearance, Light No Fire is basically Hello Games. We've been talking about them already quite a bit. Their next big game is Light No Fire, and it is basically a fantasy game. And instead of like taking their procedural generation to all these like smaller planets out there, they literally are making a structure the size of the actual planet Earth procedurally generated, and people are going to be able to jump in. True open world, they keep calling it, which is awesome, which means that hopefully, my hope is that it's not just like riddled with tasks and collectibles. It's going to be just like you interact with the environment to maybe build a city, maybe meet some friends, maybe, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Like, really like that. That's what I'm hoping for. Plus, they actually showed a little bit of the combat in the trailer. Not something they've always done good, so I'm very excited to see how that is. They show you riding a dragon in it. I am so excited for Light No Fire. I respect every No Man's Sky fan that went on Twitter and said, please don't overpromise with this. Because this is the next big game after it. Like, please, Sean, be reserved in what you're going to tell us this can do on day one. But I'm very excited for that. That was literally the only thing that got me excited in any of these fucking trailers. None of them did anything for me. I didn't see anything new or cool or interesting. It's just blah. Your turn. That's all. So, that's all my whole rant. My whole rant about it.
So, honestly, though, the one trailer that they really showed right from the jump was one that I was not expecting at all in the least. And that was the free roguelite expansion for God of War Ragnarok called Valhalla, which comes out. It's effectively shadow dropping in 2 days from today's date. So when the audio version goes up, it's going to be live, which I will be very interested to see what that is and to get back into that and see how that plays out. But outside of that, so there were a couple, the trailers, the only other trailery thing I would kind of mention, but I'll kind of segue it kind of into all the other bullshit that we've already briefly talked about at Kojima. You know, it was like clockwork because Keeley just like he had a special shot. The camera was lined up a special way when he was talking about it. It's like, oh, I'm so proud to announce the one of the greatest visionaries in all of gaming, their new project. And like they showed, if I remember correctly, they showed the trailer for it. And then after that, they have like this mystical door that shows up. And I straight up, without saying anything else, or without them even saying anything else, turned to Kayla and I said, that's going to be fucking Kojima behind that door. And sure as goddamn shit, the door opens and Kojima comes out and the crowd goes fucking wild and on and on and on. And they were talking about this game.
Why do people love that man so much? So, I do not understand it.
So from there, he then started going on a rant about working with people. And then Jordan Peele shows up. Now, I will say, I will make a confession. The second that Jordan Peele was involved, I did perk up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't like spooky shit. That said, all of the horror movies that he's made so far, I have watched them and enjoyed. So I have some hope. That said, like you mentioned, I'm sure Kojima's ego is going to take over the entire project. But they were alluding to the fact that they're working with all these other super secret and super famous people, and they can't tell you who they are. But goddamn, are you going to be surprised whenever you find out who's involved in this Project OD. And again, like, Project we don't know OD. Anything about it.
We don't know anything about it. I can't wait for the next fucking 5 out of 10 game from Kojima that gets nominated for Game of the Year award.
You don't understand. That whole... Did you watch any of that segment at
no.
all?
No.
The phrase that was used multiple times was, and I quote, "This is going to revolutionize media as we know it now and in the future. You will never look at games and movies the same ever again after this." And I'm just like, wow. Wow, that is a lofty-ass promise.
Yeah.
Lofty ass promise. What could they possibly be hyping up to that?
I mean, he said like, the same shit about Death Stranding.
Exactly.
Like, it's
a new way to experience games. You're never going to see anything like it ever again.
And it's just the same ass game shoved full of product placement and celebrity placement. And I could care less about that man. And I don't know why the gaming community has decided he's our fucking messiah. But I can't take his ego is insane, and I don't know how Jordan Peele is working with him, but because I do respect Jordan Peele's work, but I mean, good luck, dude. Good luck.
So, I mean, you mentioned the inclusion of celebrity.
Yeah,
that was the weird theme of this whole show. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember, we were talking about it a little bit. That this game's award show was supposed to be much more grounded, not a whole huge focus on a bunch of world premieres, none of that stuff.
That's what they were saying.
Aimed towards, you know, making sure that these people were recognized for their work. It
was
chock-a-block full of celebrity cameos. Anthony Mackie.
Were they presenting?
Timothy Chalamet. Huh?
Were they presenting?
Yeah. Well, they were presenting, but they were making announcements. Like, Anthony Mackie, he came out and said, you know, Twisted Metal, the second season of the show was greenlit. Like, cool. That's awesome. An announcement.
Yeah.
So that's been greenlit and is going to start production soon. But at the same time, which, sidebar, I'm surprised it survived the writers and actors strike.
Yeah, same here. Cool. I really thought it was dead. I wanted it to, but I didn't know. I didn't think it was going
to. Yeah, Timothy Chalamet. But Timothy Chalamet was introduced as some YouTuber, and we were like, what? Like, Keeley was like, oh, you know, presenting the, you know, whatever his gamer tag is. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, is it somebody who won, like, best content creator in the past or something like that? And Timothy Chalamet fucking walks out.
Just trying to be like, jokey.
I mean, I'm just like, are we supposed to react to this? Matthew McConaughey,
I heard about that one.
Is like making effectively a sequel to Interstellar, but the game. Anybody who tells you it's anything other than that is lying to you. It's straight up and down Interstellar, but the game. It's just totally just tons of actual celebrity. Who, you know, it's not about, you know, it's really not being billed as a show that's supposed to honor the games and the developers, you know.
I'll appreciate this. The celebrities were at least presenting awards this year. The last couple of years, the celebrities are just out there to be celebrities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they don't present shit. So at least they were presenting awards this year. I guess that's a step in the right direction. I'll give them that much, you know.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, you know, we kind of touched base on it a little bit here. They kind of made a joke about it, but it turned into be like a massive overcorrection. So Christopher Judge got up for the first presentation.
Yeah.
And he was cracking jokes about having long-winded presentations and was like making it sound like he wasn't going to stop talking. And then he cracked the joke about the short-ass Call of Duty campaign.
Yep.
And everybody started laughing about it. And he straight up was like, yeah, it's another company I'm never going to work for again. That's a company I'm never going to work for, or something along those lines.
That's I saw this one. This was one of the things I did see. I do want to say this. Call of Duty devs like went on Twitter and got pissed. Call of Duty devs, your campaign was short and it sucked. Deal with it, man. I don't like Christopher Judge. I think the dude's kind of an enigmatic douchebag. But you guys made a shitty fucking campaign. You can't wait for somebody to state a fact on stage and then get mad about it. Even IGN didn't like your campaign, bro, and they like everybody with money.
Honestly, I don't know what they're mad about. I mean, it's just pushing people closer to the singularity of what they want.
Right.
Strictly online multiplayer where you know, buy skins and shit. I mean, why waste your time making a campaign that everybody who I know, especially at my work, who plays Call of Duty, every single one of them said they don't care about the campaign. They don't even look at it.
Uh-uh.
Uh-uh. But the overcorrection came with the people being allowed to, you know, speak in response to, you know, their acceptance speeches. They got 30 seconds, not even a full minute, before the playoff music started playing. So many of the people who, like, they started to just hit their stride with their speech, because about a minute and a half, I think, would be acceptable for a speech. Maybe about a minute and a half mark, you know, slowly introduce the playoff music. No, it just, they ramped straight up to it. And so many people were like, okay, and in fact, one of them, I can't remember who it was, started mentioning, they were like, wow, this is great, you know, I want to thank everybody, this, that, and the other. And it was ironic because at the point they said, especially all the people who, all of the developers who helped us make this game, was when the playoff music started coming. And it's just like, they didn't get a chance. So it's just, you know, intermittent trailers, you know, trailers on trailers on trailers. There, of course, tons of world premieres announcements. And Keighley did the thing that he's done in the years past, where they have rapid fire awards. At least this time, he didn't do the thing where he announced the category and say, here are the nominees, and stare into the screen for like 3 seconds while people read it and just say, and the winner is,
yeah,
and then let it highlight and then move on to the next one. He at least, you know, had the courtesy to go through and read the names of the nominees.
I love that you decide to have more acceptance speeches. And then you make
cut them short.
You make it all about the presentation from the celebrities,
and still found a way to make it a 3-hour fucking show.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And that's the thing is, you know, after this was all said and done, people took to like Twitter and everything else, and were saying like, Keighley, what is going on? Like, this is why people don't take games seriously. You know, when you have award shows like this. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I, for the record, I actually wanted it to be more for the developers and everything. And this is stuff that we're going to be looking at going forward. Boy, he's been looking at a lot of stuff going forward
for a long time. For a long time.
Oh, what's an indie game? Oh, appreciating the people who are actually making the games. The whole fucking reason why people are there. You know, oh, not just making it a trailer dump fest, which, you know, it's what it wound up being anyways.
I don't know. I got a friend who fast forwards through everything other than the trailers. And I can't even be upset with them. Like, they when they said that, I sighed, and they were like, I know you probably think I'm terrible and I'm part of the problem. I'm like, I don't think you're part of the problem. I think they've put you in a position to not respect it. Like, you're the reason there's a problem. Like, you're the symptom. Like they're the fucking problem. Like, if anybody could see for it to just fast forward through the trailers and not see the reason for it, and it's obvious. It's because even when they're allowing people to make acceptance speech and present awards, they're making it more about celebrity presenters than the actual awards that they're giving out, which is just, it's just ridiculous. We're never going to be taken seriously as an art form until this kind of shit changes. We're just not. Was there anything else that we should talk about?
Yeah, you know what? There is one last thing that I wanted to mention.
We're starting to get into the late areas.
Oh, yeah. No, this is just a quick thing. I think that it's just so telling for, you know, what it is that we really, you know, this show wound up being, because Keighley signed off by announcing next year's Game Awards, the date and everything.
What?
There's a date already. I think it was December 10th or something next year. Wow. Like, I get it. You know, you have to have that stuff, you know, figured out ahead of time, but you're going to make the whole on announcement ahead of time like that. I don't know. It just felt gross.
I will say I was very surprised that we didn't have any viral kerfuffle this year.
Oh, they had a bouncer.
What?
So they had an actual bouncer. So there was a couple shots that were like from behind looking out at the audience. They had everything roped off. There was only one way for people to come up, and there was a big dude stationed right there. So there was only one single way that you could get up to the stage, unless you basically climbed over people and bum rushed the stage. There was no way anybody was just slipping on through.
The thing is, though, is I don't believe that the last, like, 3 or 4 that has happened I believe it was all planned by fucking Keighley.
Well, could have been.
Like, I think they've all been planned by Keighley ever since Jose Ferris said, fuck the Oscars. I think Keighley's like, we need a moment like that every year so that we get on viral. So that's why I'm surprised that one didn't happen this year. That was just as crazy. All right, well, I think we covered everything. Lackluster bullshit award ceremony with some lackluster bullshit trailers, honestly. I'm happy this year was so good and I've got a backlog because I don't see a whole lot of stuff coming out next year that I'm excited for.
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking desert after this.
It really does, because all the stuff that was announced for like late 2024 or 2025.
Yeah.
So I think that was the undertone of, mm-hmm. of everything from the announcement side was
y'all have fun got with a those lot games.
To play this year. Yeah. Yeah. So have you, fun with you those games. Everybody has a backlog, so have fun with that.
That and Skull and Bones on February 16th when that fails.
Yeah, I'm still expecting another delay.
Yeah, are you? I hope not. I want to get my point for my prediction. All right. Let's move on to the news bits.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, everybody, that brings us to our final segment of the show, the news. This is where we take headlines that didn't necessarily deserve a talking point. We riff about them. We let you guys know about them. We just share them. Neil has three headlines. I have two. So, Neil, why don't you start us off?
Alrighty. So, I guess this one here is the other. I had some from weeks past that we're going to go ahead and use. But the one that I'm going to do here is the one that kind of came out after the Game Awards. Okay. So, we saw another bit of Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. So a little bit more of that, and yet again, looks like it has great potential, but you know, it's loaded with that live service shenanigans.
Doesn't look like it's a good game to me. Even as a person who likes live service games, it doesn't look like a good game to me.
Well, here's where some shit starts getting really fucking weird.
Okay.
In an absolutely bizarre move, the game initially is supposed to have an always online requirement,
mm-hmm.
Just like the Gotham Knights and everything did. But after launch, they're then going to remove that requirement.
I've seen this.
After launch.
Very strange.
Well, what? Why? Why? That's so weird. Like, if it's something that you don't need, and you can just patch it out, or I don't know if it's like something to where
are
like
you preparing I for wanted, it to fail?
I want a bit more of an explanation on that. Like, is it like that where they're preparing it to fail? For it to fail, are they anticipating like, well, they want to make it like able to be played offline to where you can, you know, swap between the different party members on your own, and it's something that they can't just implement this late in the game. They have to do like a whole patch for it. Like, maybe a little bit more clarity on that would be cool.
Yeah, I agree. It's very strange. Very strange.
Very strange.
I'm going to go with my oldest one first. And this is actually a few weeks old. Bethesda has started to argue with people
on review boards.
It's crazy stuff too. Like, I wish, because I saved this so long ago that I didn't have any of the reviews like saved, but because I was gonna remember to go back there, but this was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Basically what happens is somebody posts a bad review on Steam of Starfield. Like, hey, this game is empty and devoid of soul, and it's just kind of crappy, and it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. They'll come back and argue with them, like, hi, in this really perky way. Like, they'll come back and be like, hi, we're so happy that you purchased this game. I think the one that I showed you was the one where it was like, it was like, there's just so many worlds and they're all blah crap. And then it came back with like, hi, we're so happy you purchased this game. Actually, in the actual universe, most planets don't have things on it. Yeah. So we were devoted to the realism. Like, that kind of stuff, this weird passive-aggressive, like, we're not the problem, you're the problem sort of shit.
Yeah.
And they've started doing it on all sorts of reviews. I almost wish I had purchased this game on Steam so that I could start reviewing it to see if I couldn't get a response back. But it's happened like multiple times. People keep posting it, but Bethesda's like, now Bethesda's arguing with people. First Todd Howard's getting on and saying it's not them, it's us. Now they're actually like, they've got a new policy in place of accusing us of thinking their game sucks.
Yeah, that was just so bizarre to me. Like, I don't Like, it's one thing to fail to present the vision of a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's another to fall back on the failure of said game and its development as features, because it just looks pathetic at that point. And you know what's really wild? I mean, you've alluded to this too. You know, even recently, I have just wanted to go back and play Skyrim, like, because I just want a big open world game where I can just, you know, take off in a direction, you know, and just go do the things. I wonder if there's something out there like that.
There is.
Skyrim, you know.
Same company made it about 10 years ago.
13-year-old game at this point, almost. It's 12-year-old. 12-year-old game. Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I think it's also telling, right? Because if you're in an argument with somebody, you know, like if you're a kid doing like an insult contest with somebody, you know you've got the other person when they're like, "No, you shut up." You know what I mean? Like like when they can't walk it off, you know you've hit something. So it's just funny to me that basically all of these are like, "No, you shut up." Like, "We're sorry, we're hurt your feelings, Bethesda, but you can't rest on your fucking lawyers anymore."
We didn't forget to put stuff in. We intentionally didn't put stuff
in. Yeah, we didn't forget. It was, fucking terrible.
It would be a lot easier of something to swallow if it was strictly just in our universe, because we have, like, in our solar system, like our solar system here, like, we know a whole heck of a lot. I mean, there's tons of stuff we don't know, but we know a good amount about our solar system to know that we're the only ones really that have any sort of life on it on Earth. That said, when you're looking at other planets that are within the same general parameters scientifically that could have life, or if you're just creating shit, you can make whatever the fuck you want.
Right, you can do whatever you want. You can't blame realism on that.
Just imagine there's one guy somewhere just coding away, and he sees a note on a paper. He's like, "Is this right?" And he storms into Todd Howard's office. He's like, "Sir, are you sure that we want to not have birds on this planet? Are you sure we don't want any sort of life on this planet?
No, it sounds
very boring." And he just stands up and said, "You shut the fuck up and do what you're told and get back to your desk." Like, that is the headcanon that I have with this.
That sounds right. We're going to be realistic to the end. All right, your turn, man.
Hold your physical media a bit closer tonight, guys, because Sony is really getting aggressive with this digital shit. And the rights management and everything. This one is a little older. But Sony has been informing a ton of people who have purchased shows on the PlayStation Network, like episodes of shows and stuff like that, that they're going to lose access to it.
Yeah.
And this is beyond just, well, you can't download it anymore. Because with games, if you have a copy of it downloaded, typically, you can still play it as long as you don't uninstall it. You still have it. It sucks, but you got it. But in this case, they're actively going to, like, say, you cannot use this and remove your ability to play the video back due to agreements and rights managements and blah, blah, blah. This is the reason why I try to have everything physical. I don't care how much space it takes up. I at least have a thing to hold that, you know, the absolute worst case scenario is they can patch some, like, fatal code in that anytime I put the disc in, it just burns a laser image across the disc.
Well, with a game, it doesn't matter. I mean, hold on to your physical games as much as you want. You put a game into your PlayStation, it immediately has to talk to the fucking internet. And if the internet doesn't like what you're saying, it shuts you down. Like, that's how that works.
I'm thinking, I mean, I don't know. This may be a little, like, me, sky is falling with it, but I can see a future where there is technology developed to where if, you know, they lose access to the rights to a game, if you put that physical game into a console, depending on, you know, if it's like a newer console or something, I think that when it does that, talk to the internet part of it, that they could in the future have some sort of program that just ramps up the power to the laser that reads the disc and just burns all of the data off of it.
I don't put it past them. I think that, I mean, this is the way it is. They don't want you to own anything. And that's the whole point. Nobody wants you to own anything. They want to have the power to take it away whenever they want and make you pay for it again. Like, that's where the industry's going with. That's where all entertainment is going to. Like, nobody wants you to be able to, like, that. It's unfortunate because I don't think streaming meant to do that, but now that streaming's a thing, that's what they want. They want you to pay a subscription fee to see the stuff that they have kind of then. They don't want you to ever have the rights to view the thing. And this is just Sony taking it away. And this is something that happens when you buy things digitally. The problem is that these same people are the people who are going to make it impossible for you to watch those physical things anymore. They're going to slowly take away those mediums like Blu-ray and DVD and even discs on games until you're always buying it from a digital storefront. And then you're always paying for a streaming service and not buying anything because they don't want you to own anything. They want you to be able to watch it when they want you to be able to watch it for the amount they want you to be able to pay. And it sucks that that's where streaming went. Something that was like kind of like indie and kind of cool when it first came out and a way to kind of stick it to the man, which was the cable companies back then, has kind of turned into a way to make things so much worse than what cable was in the first place. You know,
they've become a shitty imitation of what they were once combating.
Yeah. Well, and shitty is in the eye of the beholder because it's shitty for us, but it's great for them. It's for them.
Absolutely.
They basically can parcel off what they want to show you when they want to show you it. They can make you, they could charge you fucking, every one of these streaming services now has like three tiers. It's not even like just a, you get all the content. Oh no, you need this Showtime add-on for this, or you need the fucking Stars add-on for that. I mean, this is only going to get continually worse as things progress into the streaming space. And it sucks. It just does. It sucks. It's always a great value in the beginning, and then the evil people get their hands on it, and they turn it into dark, twisted shit. Netflix was a great value when it first started. Now it has turned into a nightmare. Netflix itself as a company is the worst streaming company there is out there. They just keep raising their rates. They keep penalizing you for allowing other people to watch your service. And they keep taking all their fucking content away. It's ridiculous. You know, Game Pass, unfortunately, right now Game Pass is best value in gaming. It won't stay that way because it will get viable competitors in the next few years, and then those viable competitors will end up being owned by big shitty fucking companies just as big and terrible as Microsoft, and then we're going to be in the same position we were in. Oh yeah, you pay for Game Pass, but then you also have to have the EA Play add-on, and you have to have add-on, and then you got to get that, but you also have to pay for the subscription to Ubisoft to get their games, and you have to pay for the Sony one to get the blah, 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 blah. And it's just going to keep going and getting worse and worse and worse. However, my next one is kind of a light in the dark for some potential liberty coming our way. There is an epic currency, premium currency lawsuit being leveled against 2K right now. So 2K has had a practice, anybody who, sports games are a lot like games as service, basically they have a premium currency that you can usually grind out some of it in game, and that's how you get like bigger skins and new characters and blah 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 blah, but you can also pay money for it. However, they have always had this kind of like policy of when they switch to the new game, and this is something I hate about NUI's franchise, and this is something I hate about WWE too, is it lasts for a year, they switch to a new game, then about 4 months into the new game, they shut down the servers for the old game. So you can't even play that game anymore. They kind of force you to buy the new game. But when they do that, any currency you have doesn't carry over. It gets lost into the ether. Well, there is officially a lawsuit being leveled against 2K. A mother who has...
Oh, yeah!
Who has had her son had these problems with NBA 2K, but this will affect every 2K game going forward in their microtransactions, because basically she is suing for a loss of... like, I can't remember what the actual suit is. Like, the specific name of the suit, but basically she's suing to get her fucking money back, or at least get that shit added to the account.
So it actually extends beyond that. I actually, funny enough, meant to send you a video of this. I don't know if you are familiar with the Escapist before it imploded a couple weeks ago. But the Escapist. The Escapist, yes.
Sounds familiar.
It's they do like zero punctuation and everything like that.
Oh, okay.
Basically, the Escapist kind of screwed over a bunch of people, and a bunch of people left, and they formed their own new channel called Second Wind. Oh, but okay. There's a guy on there who does something called Cold Take, which it's like this guy just doing like almost like a noir thing. Okay. Talking about games, and it's just like a reflection on something. Mm-hmm. Normally the episodes are only like 10-ish minutes long. This one was 40 minutes long.
Wow.
And went into everything about it. This woman is not just suing over that, but suing over the addictive nature of games and the economy that it, like, it's intentionally addictive, aimed towards kids, knowing full well that, you know, they're not going to be able to help themselves and this, that, and the other. And it just goes into, you know, who's responsible for what. You know, it touches on everything from, you know, the company's responsibilities and the parents' responsibilities as well, because, you know, of course, parents have to enable some of that to some point, but that's an entirely different thing. But yeah, that's where I heard about this. And this, they kind of talk about it in the video. It's one of two things. Either this is going to be an absolutely massive washout that's going to change the landscape of these games based on the ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just going to settle and everything's going to be the same.
I think even if they settle, there'll be precedent for people to do it again, and they're going to have to change some of their stuff. I don't think they'll be any less predatory at the end of the day, but there might be some fairness going forward, at least maybe maybe our premium currency will carry over, sort of thing. I actually heard about it from Assemble. He's my he's the guy I get all my WWE. He covers wrestling games, basically. And he was talking about it there. And I think it's really interesting. I hope... I can't believe I'm... One of the rare times I'm going to cheer for the angry mom. But I hope she... I hope she wins this one, honestly.
Yeah, I'm actually... Just because we're talking about it right now, I just sent it to you.
Oh, thanks.
At some point, yeah. Take a look at that. It goes deep into it.
I will.
But yeah, no, absolutely same.
I watch the videos you send me.
I watch them. I watch the ones you send me. I watch them.
I'm just messing. What's your last one?
So my last one, I had to pull up the link because I just, whenever I do these, I do like a quick type out of like the rundown of what's going on with the news story. But this one, all I did was, you can't make this shit up, and copy paste the link for this.
Okay.
So Ubisoft accidentally released Beyond Good and Evil, a remaster of Beyond Good and Evil, realized that they released this remaster that apparently wasn't supposed to be released, as near as we can tell. Tried to scrub the entire internet of it and denied its existence, and then eventually gave in. So basically, there were a bunch of screenshots and everything going on.
I missed this.
Yeah. So there was actually a post, or not a post. It was actually up for sale on the Xbox store, and listed for Ubisoft Plus. So with that, there were people who were, you know, making videos about it, and Ubisoft copyright claimed every single video regarding that, be it gameplay, talking about the fact that it exists, anything like that, even going through and trying to get like DMCA claims against people's posts and everything like that. Eventually gave up and just said, hey, I guess the cat's out of the bag. So, so here's Beyond Good and Evil remaster for you guys. And they said that they're going to have more news to come about this special edition coming out in early 2024. Not actually launching it, from my understanding from this article. I have no idea what the actual fuck is happening.
So can you get it or not get it? I feel like
I don't think you can get it.
Okay.
So they didn't release it, but it was listed, but then they delisted it, but it wasn't supposed to be listed. And then people started making content about it, saying "fuck you," like you can't do that. I'm pulling up the story.
So are they going to? Are they going to rush through it to get it out to make up for this? Like, is
probably.
That
probably?
Because that's not a good idea. You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm sure that's what they're going to do. I don't see, when I look at the Xbox here, I don't see Beyond Good and Evil 2 remaster.
Huh.
So I don't think it's up for listing.
Well, it wouldn't be 2, anymore. It'd be 1. It'd be Beyond Good and Evil. Oh. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is never going to come out. It's the fake game.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm okay. Let me see here. Dead silence here. Give me one second.
Yeah.
While I take a look.
Good to listen to. Good for the ears.
Good to listen to. Good for the ears.
Yuppers.
No, there's the HD for the Xbox 360. And that's about it.
Interesting. Very interesting. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Who knows? And normally they do this stuff to prime people for the release of.
That's the thing. Was this really not on purpose? How many times have they leaked Assassin's Creed shit? And don't tell me it's somebody else. It's definitely you fuckers doing it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, is that your last one then, sir?
Yeah, that was my last one.
All right. We will be right back with the plugs, ladies and gentlemen, and then we will be done.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, would you like to plug anything, sir?
We have, what is it, 3 more episodes left?
Yes.
3 more episodes left of Redfall Down. And then it's over. The nightmare will truly be over.
Well, it's over for us already. It's already recorded.
It's an unending nightmare for everybody else who decides to watch it. But at that point, I mean, it's all on you if you're trying to watch it still.
Yeah, right.
Outside of that, I don't think it's going to be until after the holiday season lets up here with us. But
yeah,
I'm thinking probably in January we're going to get back to a normal, quote unquote, normal random stream here and there of something. I like the idea of Party Animals from what it sounds like.
Yeah,
that may be where we're leaning towards.
I also do want to say that it's too early to announce specifics yet, but after the Sunfish Sitting There game, Neil and Kayla have already agreed to potentially do a stream with me and Wizard of the role-playing variety. We are working on it furiously right now because it requires a new set of rules that we are hoping to be done in the next couple of months. So keep your ears and eyes open if you guys want to see more Neil and Kayla playing RPGs with me, because very excited about that.
A throwback to the dark times.
Yes.
And that's the joke for us.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited to play with you guys, though. I'm excited to play just in general, and I think it'll be a fun game for all three of us. Speaking of games, we've got a special Ninja Turtles stream this Thursday. We're correcting a mistake that I have that has weared on me for almost a year now. And I'm very excited about that. Basically, the first campaign of the Ninja Turtles game, the finale of it, the audio was fucked up, so you could only hear me and neither one of the players, which is dreadful. So we are going to go back and replay it so that you can hear us. Obviously, some things will change because it's been a while, but we're going to replay through it, and we're actually going to add the origin of Ruby, our third player, into that as well. So please come back and check that out. On the video game side, Redfall Down, it does end the weekend before Christmas. OMGM is still going strong. In fact, we have already uploaded stuff, content that will take us through March, if you could believe it. I think we just like playing that game, guys. It's weird to see that there could be videos coming out long after my death at this point. Like I could easily die within the next 4 months, and there would be tons of content still coming out creepily.
Your heart will go on.
Right? And we got a lot of stuff. But also, please check out Baldur's Gate 3.3.0. We're playing that with Phil. Well, I'm playing that with Phil. We're playing Baldur's Gate together. Prelude's still around. I got reviews. Hopefully you'll be seeing a review for War Tales, as long as I can get to it at some point tomorrow. And yeah, on that, you guys can check us out on Facebook at OmegaMDH, on Twitter at OmegaMDN. You can join our Discord, links in the description below. Influence us and all of our shows from there. As long as you guys keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. I tell you a secret prediction I had that I almost went with and decided against.
Oh, what's that?
I think Baldur's Gate is going to be on Games Pass in like 6 months.
You think?
So here's why. Here's why I think. And I'm not 100% positive. This is a straight up tinfoil hat thing. But remember there was that whole like, we want to put it on Xbox, but we can't put it on Xbox because Xbox parody. Requires us to have parity with the S, and we can't make it work on S. We can't make the split screen work on S. And there was that whole back and forth for a while. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I think that whenever they sat down to do the deal, because the whole thing was like, we worked out a deal with Xbox so that we don't have to do split screen on the S anymore. We don't have to have parity there. So we're gonna bring it out on Xbox EA. I think that part of that deal was, okay, you don't have to have parity. We'll break the parity rules for you. Just in 6 months or whatever, when the game does start to die down a little bit, we get it on Game Pass.
That would be interesting. That would be very interesting.
I tinfoil hat. I wanna see if it happens. I don't know. I could be totally crazy. Because in a way, like Baldur, like Larian was in the position of power in that situation.
Yeah, definitely.
But did they consider themselves in the position of power? You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
Don't know what happened behind closed doors. We're only looking at it outside in. All right. So let's do the news bits. I have